Hey guys, it's the Evan and Caitlin podcast. We're back from our second break ever. That's a lame intro. I'm a little bit rusty here. But let's go with it. So we are back. We overscheduled ourselves a little bit, and we were just like churning away at videos, and we're like, just sorry podcast, sorry streaming. We're just going to kind of focus 100% on our videos, and they're starting to come out now and they're doing really well. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, so for the main channel videos, we have actual sponsor commitments. And the podcast and gaming channel, we don't. So unfortunately, those are the ones that have to get cut sometimes when things are just crazy. But it was like,
and we take our commitments very seriously. If we say that we're going to have a video ready for review by a date, we're going to have that video ready for review by that date.
And if at that date, the company's like, actually, could we get a little extra time reviewing? We're like, no.
No.
We stayed up late. We skipped a podcast for this.
Not that that's ever happened.
Never.
Anyways. So we're back. What have we been doing? Has anything new happened?
We finally had the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Oh, it was good.
So we referred to this probably like a few weeks ago in a podcast, because we kept hearing about it and hearing about it and hearing about it on Twitter and different podcasts and this and that. And so we went to Popeye's and they were out. And they said they'll be back November 1st. We tried it and they said November 2nd. And then we had it 2 days in a row. We had it on the second and the third for dinner.
God dang, that marketing strategy was so good too. Like, from a like we're giving them free publicity. This is definitely not sponsored by Popeyes. I wish. Hey, Popeyes, want to hit us up for sponsorship?
They don't need it at this point. I know. It was so freaking good though. Like, I gotta say, it lives up to the hype.
It lives up to the hype. I know not everyone thinks it lives up to the hype.
I think that
I went in with like zero expectations, because like it'd mainly been you hearing about it.
Yeah.
But like, I was just like punched in the face with a flavor packet. That's the story.
That's like what becomes ramen.
Oh my gosh, I forgot to like say what we're doing this podcast.
Oh yeah. Okay.
My intro was completely off. Oh yeah. We're going to talk about what's new. We're going to talk about how we shoot videos, how we make our YouTube videos.
Answering some questions from you guys.
And then we're going to be playing YouTuber Headline or Not.
Yes.
A little game. Return of the Games. Thank you.
Yes.
And we might fit in some extra Q's and A's depending on how fast we run through these topics.
Yeah.
So let's start with how do we shoot videos? We got this question from Marcus Mano.
Yes.
And he's working on making his own videos. He's having issues, but with shooting the work.
Yeah, he says, it seems more difficult to get the shots right than it does to actually do the work. Do you guys not only plan out the project, time, materials, tools, etc., but also plan out the various shots and overall project story? How do you guys approach it?
Yes, everything is planned, but also most things aren't.
Yeah.
it's tough. We have strategies, and like a few are fully planned, but very few, if any, are anymore. It has been like an evolution. Should we walk them through the full evolution?
We could. Okay. So in the beginning, when we first started shooting videos, and I feel like this might be easier if you're someone who's kind of new to it, we planned out literally every shot. It also helped that we were doing projects that were kind of known.
Yeah.
You know, like we'd make a simple cutting board or some concrete letters in a mold. And it was like, we could picture exactly the steps, how the project would go.
Yeah. It's like, you can't predict a lot of our recent projects because it's just chaos.
We purposely like throw in chaotic, like stuff that we've never done before now. And so we can't predict it.
Yeah.
But so we used to plan out what every single shot would be, literally.
And would have it all in a Google document and would refer to it. And we're like, okay, we got this. Let's get this angle. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's easier when you're first starting out, because
it's like foolproof. A little bit more foolproof,
yeah. And you don't like worry that you're forgetting something, and like that stress is a lot, because a lot of times you can't go back. You can't like fake things unless you want to do things over again, which most people don't.
Yeah, especially in something like a project video, you can't like unpaint that piece of wood, you know what I mean? So
yeah. So I think that's not a bad strategy for when you're first starting out. And it also depends on what type of video you're making. I think that back then we were making more instructional videos. Mm-hmm. And now we're like come along with us on this journey as we figure this thing out. So yeah, it's like
we've gotten a lot looser about planning out the filming and stuff, and we still do plan the project. Like, we try to estimate about how much time it'll take. We try to get an idea of our materials beforehand, because a lot of times we have to special order stuff, and we usually don't have that much of a lead, and so we have to try to figure that out as soon as possible, so we're not like struggling last minute. But in terms of planning the shots, we kind of have like a few different modes that we'll go into, and we know what type of scenes require what type of mode.
Yeah. So first off, there's like the talking head mode. That's a very frequent thing that we do, where it's like a tripod and it's filming the two of us and we're talking
at our workbench. Yeah.
And filming in 4K for that, if you can have a camera that films in 4K, is very useful, because Caitlin used that to zoom in on our faces, to do pans, to like add some movement to the camera. So it just doesn't look like a static, still.
But it allows us to both be talking naturally without having one of us distracted by holding the camera. And I guess you could technically have two different cameras going on you. And we tried that once, having two different angles when we did the small scale manufacturing.
Oh yeah. And it cut back and forth. But honestly, I just like looking at one camera and I know which camera to look at.
Yeah, it was like kind of confusing and I don't know if it was worth it. But having a 4K camera, I do think really helps for those types of segments, because it gives you the ability to have some more dynamic shots. Yeah.
And specifically, if you guys are interested in it, we'll have a link down below that lists all of the cameras that we use. We use the GH5 for that, just because it films like the 4K on the GH5 is really crisp. I don't know.
It has an unlimited filming time.
Yes, very important. And there's a battery, external battery pack that we plug into it, so we can record indefinitely. There's two SD cards, so it'll roll over from one to the other. And it's plugged into a battery, so we can leave it on all the time. And we have a remote.
Yeah.
Very important. Oh. Having a remote that you can click to start and stop the recording. Mm.
It's so good.
I'm doing like the Italian kiss, like that. Mwah.
Yes.
Mwah.
Yeah, that is definitely super helpful, because otherwise you're always running around from behind, in our case, running around from like behind the workbench to run over to the tripod to turn the recording on and off.
Yeah. And that's the that's
our primary camera that's going to be running for 90% of our shots.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one type of scene. And we use that for intros, outros, or any part where we're going to be like talking and explaining. So sometimes we'll have a scene where we go through like the plan, like what our game plan is, and it'll just be recording us, you know. We'll do the cut-ins and stuff because of 4K, and we'll overlay B-roll that relates to what we're talking about.
And that's what we use when we're doing resin pours and glue-ups.
That's a different mode, though.
Oh, different mode.
So I'm still talking about talking head mode.
Okay, talking head mode.
Talking head mode, one 4K camera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, talking head mode. Yeah, just the one 4K camera.
Yeah, yes. And then you can overlay B-roll that you pick up either earlier or later to, like, help mix it up. The other filming mode is real-time. We call it real-time filming.
But also, it's like, that's like the process when, like, something is going on.
Yeah. It's like I call it, like, our real-time filming mode. And that's when, like, we're going to be doing something where we know we're going to capture all of the audio, all of the banter. There's a chance something will go wrong. We don't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. So we use this for resin pours. We use it for like big glue up sometimes, where there's like a lot of moving parts. And for these scenes, that same camera is always running. But in addition to that, we often have one to two others. So one, sometimes will be a top down. And it just depends on the project. So if we're doing like a resin pour, it's going to be a top down. But if we're doing a glue up, it might not be necessary.
And for the top down camera, it really isn't that important what camera it is. We use our older
quality. Doesn't have to be great.
Our M50. I think that the M50 is a great starter camera for making videos. And we still like that in general. So we often will put that up there, or our camcorder that we're using right now to record this podcast.
And we'll just have those two cameras running pretty much for the whole scene. But then in addition to that, we almost always have a handheld camera.
And that's the Canon M50.
No, Canon EOS R.
Oh, Canon EOS R.
Yes. So that's like our fancy one. That's the one with the blurry background.
It has really good stabilization. It has really fast dual pixel focus. It's a great camera for getting pretty shots.
But also you don't have to fuss with it.
You don't have to fuss with it.
You can like grab and go, but pretty shots.
Yeah.
And so, and for those scenes, the reason we have all those different cameras, which I know it sounds like a lot, is because, you know, we always want to have that front on camera because for
our faces us, and for the, yeah, like for, showing what's going on.
Yeah. Like if you're doing instructional videos, it might not be super important to get your face in there, but for us, a lot of it is based on like our reactions or our banter and this and that. And so getting our faces is important. The top down is really good for just like an overall view of what's happening, because you don't often get that in the front on, especially again with something flat like a resin pour or some kind of art. And then the handheld is just to like introduce movement or get detail.
Yeah.
And so they each kind of serve their own purpose, but having the two tripod ones gives you the flexibility, like if stuff is going down and
you can't
grab that handheld and you just have to go, which like often happens
especially with resin
or even like glue up sometimes when things are like drying, or like where I'm staining something and you're finishing something and I flick my stain all over that we were actually weren't filming during that moment. But there's often things that like happen where you kind of go into panic mode and you can't just like grab your camera.
I think that there's also one aspect to this, which is unique to two people who are equal partners in the YouTube channel. Like when one of us is doing something where all of the focus is on that person doing that something, is really great for like me to pick up. Like if Caitlin is doing something intricate or interesting, I pick up the camera and I film it so that I'm doing something and I'm not standing there like a big dumbass.
Or vice versa.
You know?
I'm not standing there like a little dumbass.
So I think that gives us like a way to interact with each other.
And it's have like a reason for being there on camera.
Yeah, and like, you know, I pointed to your face or I use the camera to be a character in that moment. And yeah. I think that's a unique thing of the two of us. It doesn't really help people, someone who's like just doing it by themselves. But I think that moving the camera around and gesturing and pointing and stuff, it's a great way to like show something and still be interacting with the audience. Even if it was just like, even if you were just a single person creating your own content for your own channel, like sticking your hand in front of the camera so that you like the
giving it that like first person view.
Yeah, like pointing or like picking up something and moving it and showing some dynamic action, I think works pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of reserved for like the most important scenes where we have all those cameras going. The other mode we go into, we call it montage mode.
Yes. I love montage mode.
Montage mode is great. It's easy.
Saves our channel.
Yeah. It's also the mode that I feel like a lot of typical like instructional maker videos are filmed in.
Yeah.
Where it's B-roll. It's like B-roll after B-roll after B-roll. And
of just doing things and making...
Of just doing the thing.
Yeah.
So it's often more just on like our hands. It's quicker clips. We'll often like... time lapse, or it'll just be like quick shots, and it's great for just like pairing with music, especially if you need to kind of speed up the video. So part of the question earlier was like, how much do we plan the shots we're gonna get? We know like what type of shots we need to get for each scene, and as we're filming the video, sometimes we know what the scene needs to be. Like again, a resin pour is always gonna be the full camera on hand.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, cutting the pieces of wood might be, we might film the whole thing and it might be like a couple cameras going and filmed in real time. Sometimes it might be in montage mode where we just speed right through it. Most of the times it's montage mode where we just speed right through it.
But most people know how to cut wood.
but it kind of depends on like how involved the project is. So if it's a really simple project, we might spend a little bit more time on the details and not just montage through them. Whereas if it's a bigger project, we will speed through some of the stuff that is a little bit more obvious. Like, we're cutting wood. Here you go.
One trick that Caitlin uses a lot when we're making videos is we kind of edit as we go, especially the intro. Like the intro is such an important part of our videos.
It like establishes the feel.
It establishes the feel. It like people decide whether they're going to stay or leave during that moment. So I think especially during the intro, like knowing that you have an intro like good before you even like get into the project is a huge weight off of our backs. And it's not something that like hangs over our heads the whole time we're filming. We're like, is this even going to be good?
But it's interesting, a lot of people that we've talked to, they don't film the intro until after the whole thing's done.
Oh, yeah.
And we have done that before.
Just trust yourself that your future self is going to come up with
Yeah. But I think it's like, for us, we're not very good actors. And so we kind of like, we like a little bit of genuine uncertainty for certain things.
I've often wondered, like, is it going to get annoying that we're always uncertain? But that is true.
<It's> like, maybe it will get annoying. I don't know. But like, we do kind of put ourselves in situations where there will be uncertainties, because I think it makes for more interesting videos and it's kind of exciting and fun. And, you know, it would be weird to film an intro and we're like, man, this sure is going to be hard. I hope we can do it. And like, we've already done it, you know? But if we haven't done it yet, then we can be like, is this going
to
work?
Or yeah. Like, you know, it's hard to like make predictions of what's going to happen in the future and flash back to them if you've already done it, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we like to make predictions.
And it depends on like what type of video you're making. If you are like, some people might present the project all from the past. Like, I know Chris from Four Eyes mm-hmm. might sometimes do that, or.
Well, I think a lot of people, so they film the whole project and then they write their voiceover.
Or I know some people write the whole voiceover and then film the project to that voiceover.
That sounds hard.
I think that's what
is that what Chris does?
I Did a Thing does it, where he writes everything and then films to that.
That makes more sense for his videos though.
Yeah.
Because it's almost more like a video essay with making involved.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Yeah, so everyone has different things, and that might be a good thing to test out. Like, especially if you want to do mostly voiceover, then you can kind of plan it out more. Kind of like we were saying, what we used to do in the beginning. Yeah. And that can take away some of the unknowns. And I will say, like, one thing to just accept is that filming a project is going to make that project take at least twice as long.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. Yeah. And it doesn't really
because you're making get that two much things. Better. You're making two, like, interrelated yet separate things. You're mm-hmm. making the physical project, and then you're mm-hmm. making a video, and oftentimes
and they both take time.
The video takes longer. Most times, creating the video itself, more hours goes into making the video than it does
than the project.
To making the project. Now that depends on what style you're filming in, like Jimmy Dresta or Laura Kampf. You know,
yeah, it's a lot faster for them.
It's a lot faster for them.
Yeah. Because it's more just kind of montaging through everything.
Yeah. Now, Laura, I'm not sure how long it takes her to set up her lighting and her shots and her.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure, but she's stuff like but that. She said that editing's pretty fast for her.
Yeah, yeah. And Kaylin can spend a long time on editing.
Days. It does take
years.
Me days.
No. Whatever it takes. Sorry. I just felt the urge to bust into song. I think the. Like relief of like getting out of that busy period is still like hitting me.
I know. It just causes you to bust out into song.
It's causing me to bust out into song. I am glad to be coming out of that period. Anyways, don't want to harp on that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think hopefully that's helpful, and that hopefully that gives a little bit of insight into how we do it. Our system has evolved a lot over the past 2.5 years.
Yeah. I think that we actually haven't even talked about all the different ways we film. I mean, like, we still do skits every now and then, and that is...
Oh, yeah, skits still, are totally different.
Totally different.
We write out every shot, like, in detail, like, oh, it's going to be a zoomed-in part of your face, and you're going to be looking to the side, and you're going to say this word, you know?
Yeah.
And we, like, plan out costumes, and, oh, my gosh, we recently... skit won't be out yet, but we did one... Where it was all in front of the green screen, and we
it's so good. It's one of my favorites.
We needed costumes, but we didn't want to buy double the costumes, so we just bought one costume and we both wore it and filmed ourselves separately and put ourselves together
and combined us in post together.
Yeah.
To form one full video.
Yeah, I think one thing that like takes a little extra time that we don't do all the time, but when we do, like it's. I don't know. It's very fun. Is when we do like little filming tricks, like editing.
Oh
tricks.
Yeah, we're like you're moving at normal speed and I'm moving at fast speed, or
we'll do stop motion.
Oh, I want to do stop motion again. That's so much fun.
It's so fun.
We don't like have time for it when we're in rush mode.
Yeah, but like, when we're not in rush mode, it's really fun to like add in those little touches and. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not 100% necessary, but it makes us happy. And we like when people notice, like, whoa, how is Evan moving at light speed and you're not at light speed? What is this magic? And we're like, hey, it's editing magic. And those things take a little bit of extra planning. Like, specifically for that one, like, you know, if Evan's moving at half speed and I'm moving at normal speed, we have to plan like when you're going to switch from like crazy speed to normal speed. And I have to be at a part of the video that is not blocking.
And
where
if one
you
of us
are,
leaves or enters the screen, it's easy to like kind of cut it in there. But if we're going to interact, we have to like plan everything out in our minds beforehand. So
yeah, it can get like complicated sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's like, you probably don't need to worry about that immediately. Stop motions are a little bit easier.
Yeah. But I think in general, it is good to have something about your videos. If you are going to make videos, it's good in general to stand out. So you can, like, when someone is telling their friends about your channel, your videos that you make, what's going to be the thing that sticks in their head? Like, you're going to love this channel. It is blank. Or they do blank. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is.
Sometimes that thing comes in with the filming. Sometimes it's not necessarily with the filming.
Yeah, a lot of times it's with the story or the plot or the like unique approach towards things.
Or like the people themselves.
Yeah,
in the video
themselves. Yeah,
but sometimes it can be brought in with your filming. Like just to talk about some of the examples that we already brought up, like Laura Kampf, super beautiful maker shots. Like everything's so well shot.
Like
her workshop's cool.
Always does like
Frank Howarth always does really cool stop motions, like super elaborate, really cool stop motions.
Or like the two of them on screen at the same time something. You know, he uses a lot of those tricks, and you're always like looking like, oh, what's he gonna do this time?
Paul Jackman's always like
doing magic shenanigans
where he likes, you know, slams his fist down on a glue up and all of a sudden all the clamps are gone, you know? So like you can definitely add in a lot of personality with the shooting and editing. So I think it's one of those things where if you enjoy that kind of stuff, because it does take even more work to do fancy things.
Yeah.
If you enjoy that kind of stuff, I think it's cool to do. I wouldn't try to do it if you don't like it, because it just adds a lot of time.
Yeah. But I think that in general, The benefit of our approach where we just like film a lot is that we don't worry about missing something. But then the downside is there's a lot to edit for Caitlin. Mm-hmm. So it's like in general for our videos, we have way more hours and minutes of footage than most people who make videos like us do.
Yeah. The interesting thing is there was also an in-between. We've gone through phases where we filmed everything all the time.
Oh, yeah. Everything, you know what I mean? All the time.
Instead of just for certain, like, we never had a planned montage mode. We would film everything as if everything was going to be in it. And then I would figure out which parts were real time and which parts were montage
later.
That
gave you more editing flexibility, but also that also overwhelmed you and just didn't allow you to do as much, too.
Super overwhelming, yeah. That's back when edits would take me, like, 5 days. 5 days.
Don't think about it too much.
I know.
they're behind us.
Yeah.
And I think there might have been at some point in which we were like right after we got back from Alex Steele's.
I was just thinking
where
about
we were
that.
Like, let's film nothing. Let's just do the bare minimum.
Well, Alec is so
brutal.
Efficient. Yeah. And so we were like, we don't need to have any like real time stuff. We'll either just be we'll have a quick shot where we talk to the camera, or it'll be montage mode. Quick shot where we talk to the camera or montage mode.
Because Alec is so impressive. He edits while he films. So basically,
he's like editing in his brain.
Mm-hmm. So he'll film like the montage mode, and then he'll film a little talking break. Then he'll film another montage mode, and then he'll film like an explainy bit, you know? And basically all his editor has to do is drop all of the clips in, shorten them, time them to music, do all that stuff. But like,
yeah, and they're so efficient.
It's already done.
Yeah.
And he will, like, if he does a bad take, he'll just delete it and do it again.
Yeah.
So there's no like worry on the editor, like to like know which one it is. It's like everything that Alec gave his editor was pretty much good.
Yeah.
And it just had to be like massaged and treated a little bit, you
whereas
know?
And we can do that with like montage mode type stuff, but when it comes to anything we're filming in real time, it all needs to be reviewed, and every bit of it needs to be decided, like, is this funny, do we keep it, do we cut it,
because again,
do we emphasize, you know, it did Evan like make a funny noise 3 times in a row, so I'm going to emphasize it every time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just have to like watch it and see what is there.
I can't snap my fingers. And Caitlin can't snap either.
I can kind of. I just can't snap with my left hand.
Yeah, both of my hands are injured.
Why do you
want right to
snap
now.
Your fingers?
We can't be funny like that.
Yeah, we can't just. Yeah, that's a hard
we can't,
thing.
We can't turn on the funny. We can have humorous moments where we say a funny thing or we do a funny thing, because that's just us. But we can't, like, if someone like points a camera at us and like says, be funny, we'd be like,
Yeah. Which is why we can't just like only record when we want to say a thing for some parts.
Yeah. And sometimes like I'll have a funny thought in my head. We're not recording. I'll record and say it. And sometimes it's good. And sometimes Caitlin's like, that wasn't good. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to test to see if it was going to be a good thing. Like, we've literally had multiple moments like that where I'm like, I'm going to try something funny. That wasn't good. So it's like what you see in the video is us is us being real, but at the same time, we cut out all the bad stuff.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is funny. So much does get cut. And it's funny because our videos are now like the average long. Length is pretty long.
Over 20 minutes.
Yeah, but a lot gets cut.
Yeah. There's just we just film a lot. So, yeah, I'm not sure if there's any like answer to what's the best way to film video, but how do we shoot video? That's kind of our strategy. And, you know, there is no one best strategy for YouTube. I think we've said it before. We've said it in like our how to, what'd we title that?
Like
how to start and grow
a YouTube channel.
Our YouTube channel. Yeah. We said that in that video.
The podcast.
There's no like single answer, but maybe you can take some inspiration from us. I think the biggest tip that we can give is get a 4K, get a remote so you can start and stop it remotely.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the best.
Yeah. And if you have the ability to get a second camera, even if the second camera is your phone, I think for certain scenes, it's really good, especially if like there's two things you want to capture and you can't capture both on a camera, like your face and the thing you're working on, for example.
Or like a far back and a close.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting to mix it up, and it speeds up the pace of the video too.
Yeah. And when you have like two things going like that, it does take a little bit longer to edit sometimes because you're making decisions like which camera am I going to show this thing from? But it speeds up the process of making the thing because you're not constantly having to switch the camera around as much because at any given moment you have two cameras going.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that was interesting. Hopefully maybe someone picked up some tips on that. Or maybe you just like now look at our videos in a different light and say, oh,
that's a real time phase. Oh, that's a montage phase.
Yeah. And then you can kind of like follow along with our videos more. But that was fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad we talked about that.
I'm not sure if we had a few more questions. I'm not sure if we have time to do those and the game. So I think maybe we save those other questions and we go into the game.
Yeah. It's game time again. I think I was like one beat off.
I was one beat off because I like started. Okay, so sorry. So many people are like listening and not watching, but we always dance during the like game music. But usually I like to end with my fist over on this side, but I had to have my fist up here. So it looked like I was threatening to punch you.
Oh, sorry. That was a loud beat. That was just a loud squeak from me. I'm sorry.
Okay. So don't look. So we are going to play a game. We've played this once before, but I'll explain it just in case you didn't miss or in case you didn't catch that episode. It's called YouTuber Headline or Not, where I read YouTuber headlines. Some of them are real. Some of them I've made up. And Evan has to guess if they are real or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
No, I need to get a drink.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. Don't look. Oh, and you can get bonus points. For when it is a real one, you can get bonus points if you can guess.
The character?
Yeah, if you know the YouTuber? The character.
Okay, cool.
YouTuber accused by fans of a scam after her Louis Vuitton giveaway turned into a mess.
Okay. That's very believable because there are tons of giveaways and oftentimes they can be a mess. Louis Vuitton. Can you read it one more time?
YouTuber accused by fans of a scam after her Louis Vuitton giveaway turned into a mess.
I think that is true, and it's Lele Pons.
No, it is a female YouTuber, and you do know her name.
We have not watched her videos.
It
seems like it's from like the like lifestyle type section. I just guessed a random YouTuber who I'd heard of once. I don't think I've even watched any of her videos.
No, you haven't. Neither have I.
Emma Chamberlain.
No.
No. She wouldn't be that. That's like different style. I've heard of her.
You've heard of her, but we've not watched any of her videos. But we know who she is. Oh yeah, and it's real, by the way.
Okay, okay. I thought it might be real.
Yeah.
I give up.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't get it. It's Alyssa Violet.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that at all. Yeah.
She was like Jake Paul's ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Which we know from the Shane Dawson documentaries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so apparently there was just like, she did like a Instagram giveaway.
Yeah.
And then everyone was commenting. And then it was crazy because it was like one of those giveaways where you have to like go follow this brand. And it was a brand called Cheeks or something.
It like, sounds like butt cheeks.
Yeah, maybe it was for butt cheeks. I don't know. I think I'm assuming maybe it was like makeup or something.
Maybe it was an underwear company called Cheeks. That'd be great.
That'd be a great name. Company. I don't actually know what the company was, but it was the company. It's funny that it was a company giving away a Louis Vuitton giveaway. So it was like a photo of her with a bunch of purses, like Louis Vuitton purses. But it was a company called Cheeks. And then like the people who won like were just ghosted for weeks. And then like eventually she replied to two of them. So one of them was like, oh, you were too young to actually be a legit winner. And the other one was like, oh, well, you weren't in the US. So you didn't actually win. Weird. So I think there's only actually one winner. But then like before the giveaway stuff had been sent out, that company Cheeks went under.
Oh, what?
And like no longer had an account. And so it just seemed like this crazy giveaway scam because like nothing, I don't know if anything actually, and I don't know if things actually got sent out, but everyone was accusing her of the whole thing being a scam. It took a week for winners to be announced, and then none of the three winners received their prizes.
Oh man.
And until recently they couldn't even reach Alyssa Violet or Cheeks. Oh, Cheek. Sorry. Just don't miss
just a cheeks. Single cheek.
Just a single
it's,
cheek.
It's an underwear for only one cheek. That's what the underwear is. Yeah. That's what the brand is.
Yeah. But yeah, so crazy.
That's crazy. Well, I know that there's been a lot of like giveaway drama. Like people will like post Amazon gift cards and then none of them work. And then they like one person called Amazon and the gift card had been redeemed before the person even uploaded the video. So he was giving away like expired Amazon codes.
That.
Oh boy. Oof.
Okay.
All right. One more.
Okay. Family YouTubers sued by school for hiding incognito cameras on children.
What? Man, there's some like some family vloggers, super wholesome, good intentions, good stuff. Some like it just like seems
surrounded
so bad.
By drama.
Oh, so
surrounded by drama.
This is a completely believable headline, unfortunately. And I'm going to say it's true just because it's so believable.
That one's fake. I made that one up.
What?
Pretty good though, right? Because like, I feel like I could see something. The only thing that I think like might not happen is I don't know if a school would sue or not. Maybe
they might just like expel them or something.
Yeah, they might get like expelled. But I feel like YouTubers are always like
pushing the boundaries
and trying to do like incognito stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I could totally see something like that happening. I don't know. I tried to think of things that were like,
Yeah. I mean, you came up with a very plausible thing.
Thank you. Australian YouTuber saves his dog from getting eaten by a shark.
What? I think that's so unusual that it's true because I think that isn't something that you just like randomly make up.
That one is true.
Yeah. Did he video it?
Yeah, he was videoing. So he's like a shark diver. And the story was recent, but it's I think it didn't happen recently, but the story was recent. But he was diving with like a group, and I don't really understand how shark diving works, but apparently they dive with guns. I guess like if something goes down, they can shoot the sharks.
Well, what is shark diving anyway?
I don't know, like Australia.
You
know?
Hanging out with sharks. Just me and the boys.
Me and the boys. Yeah, so he was like with a group and a bunch of them had guns. Or they all have guns as like protection, I guess. And he started to notice like all the sharks all of a sudden started behaving differently and they all started like swarming in this one direction. And he was like, oh, maybe they like dropped some bait off the boat or something. His dog had jumped from the boat
Oh no, there wasn't someone out there with the dog.
There might have been, but the puppy might have just like jumped.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
So he like rushed over, swam over, and still was like punching sharks left and right, like bumping them with a gun. Like everybody else is like defending him. Everyone, like they all like rushed to the puppy. And they were like punching sharks with the guns. And he rescued the puppy and got the puppy back in the boat.
Oh my God.
The dog has never jumped off again.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy. Oh, that's
so
scary.
And he was filming.
Oh my gosh.
Was it
a GoPro strapped to his chest or something like that?
Some sort of, I don't know exactly the camera, but I'm assuming something like that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So the YouTuber's name is Brody Moss. And he said that was his scariest moment in the water.
Oh man.
And it was a cute pupper.
That's a cute pupper.
It was cute pupper.
Oh, I don't want to watch it because it like seems too scary.
I know. I didn't watch it because like I didn't want my stress levels to go up.
Yeah. We had a dog for, oh no, I'm not looking.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So we had a dog when I was growing up, and when it was a puppy, it would just follow us around all the time, like do whatever we did. So one time we were going out into the jacuzzi, and it was, you know, jacuzzis are hot, or hot tub is the generic term, whatever. And we hopped in, and our little puppy just jumped in right after us, and we didn't think that he would. I don't know why we didn't like assume that he wouldn't, but like he jumped in, and he hated water ever since then. He'd never jumped in any pools, and he never would splash in the pool. He'd try to bite the water because he thought the water was evil and bad, and he was trying to protect us from the water. He's like, yeah, so trust issues with water.
Yeah, well, I imagine that this Australian dog has some big trust issues with water now.
Okay.
Okay. YouTuber trolls LeBron James after study finds that YouTuber is more liked. And in some of these, I'm putting the word YouTuber. Like, some of these, like, that's why the word YouTuber is in there twice. It, like, says the name. So.
Well, I recently read on Twitter that something like that was true. Oh. PewDiePie.
Yeah!
I was like, I read this caption. Oh, I get bonus points!
Yeah, you get bonus points. Ding, 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 ding. You guys, PewDiePie. Good job.
Well, I mean, like, it's not hard to be, like, more liked in the public opinion than LeBron James right now because of the whole
yeah,
drama.
That's true. And, of like, of course, PewDiePie would troll him.
yeah, of course.
He, like, tweeted at him about it.
I wonder if LeBron blocked him after that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It is interesting, though. Thinking about
traditional media versus new media.
Yeah. And it's like, it's interesting because someone could be like within a certain age group or, you know, more popular than someone from traditional media, but there still would be a total amount of people that like didn't know who that YouTuber was.
Yeah. Another interesting thing is YouTubers in general are more in control of their own public image than traditional
That's true. Like traditional celebrities and stuff.
Celebrities. Yeah, I was trying to like, well, like, what's a better term for celebrity? Because it's like...
Famous,
I
mean,
I guess, yeah, it's like... Celebrities, I think, I don't know why, but TV and movies. Whereas like...
I think...
A sports person, I guess, is still a celebrity. But it's just like a weird, like, what makes it a celebrity and a not celebrity? LeBron James is a celebrity, I guess, but his teammate...
Joe
basketball, you know, isn't as much of a celebrity because, like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, and you know, LeBron does have his own Twitter, and he could like make a message or he could do a tweet or something, but like that's not where most of his audience consumes media.
Yeah.
You know,
and I feel like there's probably restrictions on what you can tweet because you're not just representing yourself, you're representing
the team and all that stuff. Yeah,
the NBA and whatever.
Whereas like, you know, we have no signed anything. It's like, we do what we want.
Yeah. YouTube's not like, hey, you guys can't say that.
I mean they can demonetize their videos, but like they can't control us. You're not our parents.
You're not my real mom. Okay. Popular gaming YouTuber hands out 100 Nintendo Switches for Halloween.
Wow.
100 Nintendo Switches.
So that's like $2,000 or $3,000. No. How much are?
I don't know how much a Switch is.
So it's like 200.
I mean, it's less now than when they first came out.
How many?
100.
He handed out 100?
100.
100. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But you need that number for that title, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Can't hand out 47.
I mean, it's it's completely believable, but also I doubt it because then everyone's going to know where he lives, and a lot of YouTubers in general don't want people to know where they live.
It's not necessarily handing it out from your home. There's a lot of like community things.
He'll like go out to a place and hand it out while he's like walking around. A lot of times there's like
trick-or-treating at the mall. You know, do you ever do that?
No.
Oh, I did once.
So it's like, it's not like people are coming to his house trick-or-treating and he gives them a Switch. Then they go buy another costume, come back and do it again and do it again and do it again. Just like ask to borrow someone's costume and just like cycle, get all the Switches. This is a tough one. It's like, I guess I'm going to say true. Have I said true to every single one?
I think so.
Okay, true.
No, it's false.
Oh, God dang it.
You're pretty close, though. I hadn't thought about the angle of like, oh, yeah, everyone would know where he lived.
And then you came up with that.
But there really is like community trick-or-treating. Like, I've been trick-or-treating at the mall before.
Okay, so you're not just telling me blatant lies.
There's like various things, because especially like, you know, if you live in an apartment complex and you might feel weird just going to a random neighborhood. But like you and your apartment complex friends go to this whatever community thing.
I should have gone with my gut reaction and said false just because of the, but you pulled me along pretty well with that. Oh no, community things. So good save.
Thank
on
you.
The trick.
I don't actually know how much that would cost. I don't know how much a Switch goes for. I just chose 100 because like
you pulled it off really well.
I'm curious though. I just felt like 100 would be a good number for like a thumbnail and title.
$200.
Okay, yeah. So, 200,000?
Yeah.
Or 20,000.
20,000.
That's like, people for like given bigger that, YouTubers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People have done it before.
Yeah, like $20,000 giveaway and they would Mr. probably
Beast
be sponsored.
Has done it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow.
It was within the realm of like a very successful YouTuber.
Fiscally irresponsible, but also like within the realms of...
Yeah. Like maybe not fiscally irresponsible if the video did really well and you were sponsored and maybe the sponsoring company is Nintendo and they
gave them to you.
Gave them to you.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Okay, next one.
Okay. YouTuber's canceled costume has sparked a lot of debate on the internet for being insensitive.
Oh.
Canceled costume.
Can you describe the costume to me?
I feel like if I describe or not describe, I can't give you like too many details.
So the canceled costume.
It's a Halloween costume.
Was it portraying a specific person in the costume? Or was it just like a canceled text?
Canceled themed costume.
Canceled themed.
Like being canceled.
False.
No, it's true.
Oh, dang it. What was the costume?
It was just like, I'll show you. So the YouTuber is Jaclyn Hill, the one with the hairy lipsticks.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it's just like a black dress with the word canceled on it, and she's like bloody.
Oh, that's strange.
But people were saying it was insensitive because she was, I think, trying to like make a statement about how cancel culture is scary. So it's like... You know, what does she say? Not one day has gone by in over 2 years where I've not seen you're canceled online. So I wanted to create a look showing the glam side of this industry and the ugly. So here it is. You want me canceled? You got it.
I know my haters are going to hate the costume, but that's okay.
I love you anyway. But yeah, so the reason people said it was insensitive is because, like, the reason she was quote-unquote canceled is because of the quality of her lipsticks where they came out and they were, like, hairy and lumpy. And I think, like, I heard hairy and lumpy, but I feel like I heard, like, kind of moldy or something.
Yeah.
And so the pushback against her tweet and her costume was people were like, no, this wasn't just like people decided not to like you one day. You put out a health hazard.
Yeah.
Like people. So people were like, you know, you put out an actually bad, dangerous, unhealthy product and you're trying to like spin it into a thing like, oh, look at me, I'm a victim.
Yeah.
So that was like the pushback.
It wasn't like without reason that people were upset with her, you know?
Yeah, people were upset because they were like they felt like her making that statement was her saying like she shouldn't have been canceled. Yeah. And so they were like, no, actually you put out something that was a health hazard.
Yeah.
So that was the pushback.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I know, these booty gurus and their drama.
So much drama. Spill that tea.
Spill the tea. Okay. YouTuber in trouble with IRS after sharing tax hacks series.
Oh, no. False. Okay, now let me get into the reasons. I'm not sure. Well, I guess it could be a really good YouTube video, like in terms of like the title and thumbnail and everything. And there are like finance channels. There are stuff like that. I don't know. I just like...
I feel like people would be attracted to something if it was along like the lines of like ways given, to save money on your taxes.
I feel like he would have like given a disclaimer to protect himself or something or herself. I'm gonna stick with false just in case.
Yeah, you're right. That's false.
Yes.
Tax hacks.
Tax hacks.
That's a good title though.
That's a good title. Hey, maybe a good video idea.
It's funny because a lot of times, and we haven't done a video like this in a while, but we have a couple videos that are about like how to sell stuff online and like small scale manufacturing, like if you want to make your own products, because we used to do that. And oftentimes in the comments, people are like, what about tax stuff? You guys aren't going to go over tax stuff. And we're like, no. We are not. One, well, but also super
it's
such boring,
a caveated thing. It's like, well, if you live in this state and if you live in this country and if you are in this situation and if you're married,
then this is how you do it.
If you incorporate your company as an LLC or no, what about an S corp?
What about an S corp?
It's like so caveat-y. Oh.
Yeah. There's like no way to go over
in any useful or reasonable
manner. Like of course we are obviously not tax experts.
No.
But yeah, it's interesting because like people wanted it and I'm like
no
sorry. I will recommend starting an LLC for most people who want to be YouTubers or make things, and that's about as far as I can go. And even that,
you
don't
form,
take that recommendation at all. I take back everything.
You should form a separate entity. How about that?
Form a separate entity.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be an LLC.
Doesn't need to be
Look
an LLC.
Look up what works best for your situation.
Yep. Yep. Thanks, not going to talk about taxes.
That concludes the one and only tax help with Evan and Caleb.
Tax tax.
Tax tax.
Okay. Latest YouTube craze, hot dog challenge, leads to widespread Costco sponsorship.
Wait, what? I'm trying to wrap my head around those words you just said.
So this one's technically not a YouTuber.
Yeah, but it's a YouTube headline. I think so. Okay. Okay. Let me judge
it
from a few different angles. One, that's so specific again that like you're a very creative person.
Thanks for grabbing my chin.
I'm trying not to look.
Patting my under chin. Thank you.
I'm trying not to look for some reason. I don't know why, because I'm trying not to look at anything.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Sometimes like looking up in the corner. Okay, so YouTuber trend
hot dog
challenge sparks widespread Costco sponsorships.
Yep.
I want this to be true. And it's plausible, and it seems so out there that I don't think you made it up. So I think I'm going to go with true, final answer.
What do you think the hot dog challenge is?
How many hot dogs can you hot dog if a hot dog tasted good?
So it's false.
Oh, no! Dang,
but I thought it was really good.
I just wanted that to be real.
I know.
I was like, wow, Costco sponsorships.
I mean, that would be good for Costco, I think, you know?
Oh, but it could also be dangerous. What if the channel... I should have thought of this. What if the challenge goes too big and people take it too far? And then Costco's being held like responsible or something. They wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I was trying to think of like what the hot dog challenge would be. And I came up with it just because I like, what's a dumb challenge name? Yeah. Hot dog challenge. But then I was like, I need to come up with what it is in case Evan asks.
Okay, what is it?
Okay. So first off, you put as many hot dogs in your mouth as you can.
Oh no.
You have to try to eat them one at a time. So you gotta like slurp one in.
Oh no.
I'm sorry, Evan peaked.
No, that's horrible. I like the how many hot dogs can you fit in your mouth at the same time.
There's gotta be more challenge.
But that wouldn't lead to a sponsorship. Why did you say widespread Costco sponsorships?
But widespread.
I don't know how I fell for that. Looking back on it, I have no clue how I fell for that.
It's because I didn't tell you what the hot dog challenge was. It could have been anything.
Put as many hot dogs in your mouth as you can.
And eat them one at a time.
Keith would win.
Keith would totally win. Keith from Try Guys. Yeah. He's got a big mouth. But yeah, you got to just eat one at a time. The rest you just hold in place.
That's horrible. I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. Okay, next headline.
One more. YouTuber arrested for naked IKEA stunt.
Gosh. I like IKEA. I don't know why anyone would be naked in IKEA. A stunt, I guess.
What do you think the stunt would be?
It's just seeing if you can shop at IKEA naked. Just like...
straight up a naked IKEA challenge.
Yeah, or seeing if you can hide in IKEA naked. Mm-hmm. Like you get naked and you hide for as long as you can without security kicking you out and arresting you. I think one of these challenges needs to be right because one inspired the other. And since the other one was false, this is true.
This is true.
What is the challenge?
It you were pretty close. It's part of, I think it's called the Fort Challenge, where you try to go into a store,
yeah,
hide, and like stay overnight.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is so dumb. So illegal. This is so bad. This is why YouTubers get a bad name.
So the YouTuber is called, his name is Max Lee.
Oh geez, let's not promote him.
Okay.
His name is Poopy Buddy Pants.
I mean, we don't know anything about him. And he's like the son of a famous Taiwanese TV actor, it says. But yeah, so the challenge is the Fort Challenge. And he got in trouble because he was like pretending to shower and stuff. And so he was naked in those shots, like pretending to shower.
Yep.
And I guess, and security got him. He hid from security though for a bit.
Like, oh my gosh.
He was able to hide from them. Actually, no, I don't know if security didn't get him until the video went live.
What?
Yeah.
Oh
my
gosh.
The alarm was triggered, so the guards were alerted, but he was sneaky and managed to avert them. At 9 a.m., he can be seen leaving the store, telling a member of IKEA staff that he bumped into, that he was an early customer. Yeah. So it wasn't until later.
So he spent the whole...
He spent the whole night there successfully.
Wow.
But then it went viral, and IKEA reported it to the police.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that charged crazy? Him. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh. He took the channel down from his social channels.
Oh, he took the video down, not his channel.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, just the video.
Yeah. Isn't
that
crazy?
Oh my gosh, that is so...
Yeah, apparently it's the Fort Challenge. Please don't do the Fort Challenge.
Please don't do the Fort Challenge.
Do the hot dog challenge.
No, don't do the hot dog challenge. Only do the first part of the hot dog challenge, because that might be kind of funny.
Just putting them in your mouth.
But what about a standard size of hot dogs? Different hot dogs have different diameters. So do you need to like standardize on a brand and size?
You know, don't put too many rules on it. You squish the fun. It's not about who wins or loses. It's about putting hot dogs in your mouth.
It's about who wins and who loses. There needs to be standardized rules. Well, and that's a wrap for our podcast episode.
No, we still got to do our thing of the week.
Oh, yeah. Thing of the week. I don't know what the music is.
It's okay. I got you, baby.
So my thing of the week is O-ring tools.
O-ring tools.
So, guys, I got this because of my last job. I was building industrial equipment, and you have to install O-rings and remove O-rings from stuff. And basically, it's just like an ice pick, but there's all sorts of little twists at the end.
It's kind of like dentist tools.
That's scary.
Sorry.
But like more stout.
More stout.
More like hardy. So it's like Jimmy always carries around his ice pick and uses it for things.
Jimmy Dresta.
Jimmy Dresta. And I like a straight pointy thing, but the best tool in the O-ring tool is it's like an ice pick and it has a little C at the end. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's so great for doing so many things. And I have like three of them around our workshop and around our house. And I just use it.
Sometimes you just need a pokey thing with a little bit of curve on the end.
Sometimes you just need a pokey thing with a little curve at the end.
Nab a thing,
grab a thing, do like poke a thing, unclog a thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Scrape a thing.
Yeah.
It's just like such a handy thing. So I'll post, you know, the link down below will be to a 4-pack that I've gotten before that, you know, it has all of the ones that you need. The straight, the right angle, the I think one is a little bit of a curved circle, and then the C, which is the best.
Yeah, the C one.
Yeah. So that's my thing of the week, just because I use it all the time.
So my thing of the week, speaking of Jimmy Dresta, is a video. It's on the Bon Appetit channel, but it's with Brad Leone and Jimmy Dresta.
Oh, it's so good.
I've been waiting for this one.
They're just like two of our favorite people.
They're two peas in a pod.
They mesh so well together, and it's so great. Like, and we like Jimmy's videos in general, his normal ones, but like it's so fun seeing him, like his personality come out with Brad, like having someone to bounce like jokes off of.
Because we see his personality in like the pod, like the making it podcast.
Yeah,
but in his videos, you know, he doesn't really talk.
He's like a master of making, but I like Jimmy. You know, I just want like more hang time out with hang, Jimmy. Out, hang out with him.
And we love hanging out with Brad. And by hanging out, we mean like watching the videos.
Yeah,
you know, but
like that's what the videos are, kind of. You know, it's like a little bit of a
third
person hangout.
Yeah, and so in this video, so there's a 2-part series. The first part is the only one that's out right now, I believe. But they make a grill together. Mm-hmm. So they're like welding and this and that. And it's hilarious. There's so many shots of just like a close up on Brad's face, squinting his eyes because he doesn't have his helmet on.
Watch till the end though, because the end is almost
the very end.
Some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, the like little blooper bonus scenes are great.
I love it. I love it so much.
But yeah, it's really funny. I'm excited for part two. And we will have a link to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good video.
So it's good wholesome video.
Good wholesome content. Two people we really like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can like sense that it's been I'm like more rusty on the podcast. I'm like, what words do I say at the end? What words do I say at the beginning?
We say thank you guys for listening.
Rate us
5 stars on whatever things you can rate on.
Mainly Apple.
Why is it only on Apple?
Yeah. It's like I'm fine with Apple, but Apple's not the like king of podcasts.
Yeah, I don't use Apple to listen to podcasts.
No, why can't you rate it on Pod
whatever Bean I use
or like
Pocket Cast
or Google?
Why can't you just think the rating in your head
and then broadcast it
in the future?
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, then it'll be so easy to rate and review.
Yeah, but then what if you rate it like what you honestly think instead of like what you mean to think?
Oh yeah,
awkward.
What if it's like a friend of yours has a podcast and you don't really like it, but you want to give them a 5-star support, but then you give it like a 2-star and your name's assigned to it, and they're like, "I see you don't like my podcast."
And then like you're like, what if like in the future instead of like rating it ratings, you rate it a feeling?
And it's like meh.
And it's like the ratings are represented by like color graphs.
Why not just like an emoji?
Oh, emoji?
Yeah.
No, I want color graphs.
Okay. I feel like...
So it's like...
What's an orange?
An orange is partway to angry.
Really?
Because I was thinking... Red is angry. Blue is like peaceful.
But like if yellow is happy, is orange partway between happy and angry? I feel like your system's going to break down here at some point.
Yeah, you know what? It's a beta. It's a beta in progress. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us in today's podcast.
It's okay. You can do it.
Bye!
Bye.